Invoking the entities they are bound to by a sympathetic magic, the Hebrew names recalling these entities who are bound to the zealot and empowering them. In the programming of Christ insanity there are only two destinations, 1, hellfire, 2, heaven and possibly some variant as in Catholicism with purgatory, the ultimate destination being either of the former two. The dynamics of the demonology of Judeo-Christianity play themselves out in the minds of their captive slaves who are programmed via black magic and the influence of these entities to allow their soul to become captive and to place themselves under the influence of these creatures. Hence the Bible, a book of Jewish witchcraft, is simply a program for destruction and was contrived for that very reason. It is indeed the Lord's holy book or the Word of God, the word of reptilian transdimensional entities who are the masters of this prison planet slave plantation and who have captured the minds of most of those on the earth plane through this means, this holy writ. The transmission of this text is almost certainly undergone through a voiceless and wordless communication to Jewry who were the vector through which this Word of God emanated. They the Jews received whatever directives in whatever language or revealed form of wordless communication from these entities and encoded these diabolical plans in this book as a means of enslaving the world. Hence the Bible blueprint is a slave mechanism, a textual weapon derived from those who are represented as benevolent angels but are in reality what are conventionally called in today's language David. This is an inversion of the meaning of words where demon derives from the Greek word daimon and refers to one's higher self and the word angel is simply a Latin word for messenger, and the medium in this case is indeed the messenger, the word of God, i.e. of Jehovah Yahweh, Lord of reptilian hosts of transdimensional entities who enslave this earth as a soul farm prison planet. The hierarchy of this world order represents itself as a benevolent benefactor of altruistic dispensations and glad tidings. The smiling mask of the priest caste and their Jewish masters conceals their vile self-interested parasitism. Indeed, they are the black magicians of this prison planet and they utilize underhanded techniques of priestcraft to serve themselves while serving the Lord, i.e. serving the reptilian demons who enslave the earth. Only the corrupt, the duplicitous and the deceitful need apply and the hierarchy accepts only members of the laity who demonstrate the greatest hypocrisy and dishonorable mendacity. The higher one ascends, the more corrupt one is, and the more one becomes enslaved to these reptilian entities on the earth plane. The entire apparatus of statecraft is established to serve the purpose of vampirization. Like this song of the Smashing Pumpkins, the world is a vampire and those deemed beyond the worldly are instead simply captive slaves at higher levels by the reptilian, allowing themselves to be bound to rise by them as a means of increasing their own power and influence and this at the expense of the laity or profane slaves of the system. It is the fear-based classical conditioning encoded in the text of the Bible that keeps the prisoners of the prison planet in chains to the slave matrix for to break away would entail. So they have been conditioned to believe, hellfire, hence they must suffer the abuse and trauma of the Jews and their reptilian masters as a condition of perpetuating their sad life of slavery, the life of a living dead organism, a zombie, he who lives in order to die and whose life entails death, dying by degrees through the vampirization of their soul. This one can clearly see in the faded and pale look of Christians and in spite of their false smiles plastered to their faces they are at a higher level. Crying out in pain as the reptilians vampirize their souls. The entire apparatus of statecraft is subordinate to the priest caste and this priest caste ensures that this mechanical matrix of slavery continues to operate through the fear of hellfire instilled into the minds of the populace. The police and military are they who are selected from amongst the laity, the Christian flock of zombies who are under the hypnotic influence of Jewry and their Christian priest affiliates. These hired goons play the role of system enforcers to ensure the perpetuation of the slave caste, keeping them in their chains and prohibiting them from carrying out any activity which might threaten to undo the leaden bands which curtail their otherwise healthy activity. Hence all must obey the law, which is to say the will of the sovereign power and the sovereign black magicians ensure that their will is enforced through the most economic means, minimizing loss and cost of energy for themselves. Led from above by their reptilian masters, these servitors of the evil horde keep the potentially awakened in a dormant state to the degree they may be kept in darkness and only taught the technical details of operating within the matrix to the extent it serves the hierarchy. Education amounts to an education in false reality, in the matrix and its illusory causality, which simply serves the explicate order of the slavers who exist both within and outside of this myopic veil. Hence no gnosis or actual knowledge may be acquired by the slave caste save to the degree it serves the hierarchy in conscripting new members who are selected as desirable candidates by themselves. Most are born into it, and this classist exclusivism is based upon past life karma and energetic ties to the reptilians and the bloodlines of the hybrid Jews. From evil only evil comes. The world of robots transhumanism is the agenda of Jewry, who are themselves cybernetic robots, genetic constructs of alien entities, and who wish to make the Goyim in their own image. They would extend their control over the non-Jewish population to the extent of exerting their influence over robotized cyborgs who have had their physical form implanted with RFID chips and graphene oxide and other nanoparticulate substances injected into their bloodstream, modifying their DNA and contaminating their blood. The entire gamut of gene-modifying therapy, masquerading under the pseudo-sophisticated label of epigenetics, is mobilized our weapons of biospiritual warfare against the Goyim in the form of a multi-pronged assault against the integrity of their souls and bodies. Over the last few decades since World War II, the perverted contamination of the physical form with artificial nanotechnology across all kingdoms of sentient life has established the Jew in a position where he is on the brink of bringing about his masterstroke of diabolism, the robotization of the Goyim. By way of injection of biological material and of inorganic substances and hybrid forms of substance that span different kingdoms of life, the black magician Jew works his ultimates to jack in the theater of the real. The body serving as a pedestal of clay molded into the desired shape by the psychopathic Jew, like a serial killer mental patient molding a statue out of the body parts of his victims, the Jew has managed to create an extreme of chaos through gradualistic means over the generations to degrade and distort the otherwise healthy forms of their captives. They would discharge their karma, transferring their sins onto others through blaming their victims for taking the bait of whatever cultural chaos they have engineered. However, it is a failed and impotent endeavor on their part, given that people are trapped in their matrix and only blameworthy to the extent an actual choice was available. Any choice Jewry imposes upon others being that in the form of your money or your life, and hence a choice in name only, with negative consequences either way and not voluntarily entered into. The injection of poisons into the organism creates an internal chaos which, in conjunction with the external bombardment of mind poison in the form of degenerate culture, and with the sum total of their technology to transform the human all too human into robotized golem that are serviceable to their endless demands and desires. The multi-pronged assault against the human population, however fallible and effective in their being, has led to the point where most of the world's population stumble about in a stupor, in a zombified state of unconsciousness, and have been reduced in their cognitive capacity to the level of beasts, which Jewry calls all of those not Jewish, the level of Goyim. Previously, before the recent decades of cellular tower installations and so-called smart technology which has captured the minds of the now yet more mindless, the mindless were semi-conscious, not so immersed in the system of objects of the postmodern and post-human technocracy of liquid crystal displays and radiation bombardment of the consciousness. They were once human, all too human, and yet nonetheless human in the sense of having some degree of light, of the rays of the sun of mind. Now the dark clouds of the polluted horizon have beclouded their vision of the real to an even greater extent, while yet more strange and harmful poisons are being injected into the body mind via chemtrails and other occult forces, from electromagnetic fields to radiations of a subtle nature, to magnetic fields to synthetic telepathy, and the list goes on. This perpetual obstruction of the vision of the non-Jewish population by Jewry is and will continue to be a logarithmically expanding pall of miasma until a few sufficiently awake to their fate of inevitable death, unless they oppose with all of the force they can muster the dark forces of this world. Some, such as the Jew J. Widener, have put forth the conception that the Earth is being terraformed by the globalists so as to accommodate entities to enable them to manifest on the Earth and to occupy. Perhaps this is the true meaning of the Jews' biblical prophecy and the phrase assigned to Jewry, occupy till I come. Perhaps this group of alien entities can only manifest from their inner dimensional state of being onto the earth in material form once the earth is sufficiently saturated with nanoparticulate heavy metal, the pollution vapor of gas and oil and other noxious carbon-rich substances. Perhaps these organisms respire carbon dioxide or even monoxide or atmosphere richer in this substance. Is CERN, based out of Switzerland, a dimensional portal enabling the manifestation on the Earth of the entities Jewry propitiates as their Elohim? Perhaps the robotization of the Goyim is being undergone for the purpose of rendering the population docile bodies in the sense of Michel Foucault, near mindless slaves whose cognitive capacity has been so dumbed down as to have rendered them zombified? This last question goes without saying, but the former raise an endless series of others. For example, what entities are these? What is their purpose on Earth? What can one do to stop them? Or perhaps they are benevolent in some twisted way and we the human, all too human, should allow ourselves to be transformed into robots as their servitors. In all likelihood we should not. In all likelihood these entities are malevolent and, as Robert E. Dickhoff in his work Agatha speaks of, they are creatures who feed off the energy of human beings and indeed when manifest in physical form off their living carcasses. These are the reptilian transdimensionals as David Icke has presented. They are, according to Dickhoff, from Venus, though perhaps this planet is now no longer occupied by them. Regardless, they have imprisoned the captive Archon of Centaur with ice crystals and are poised to invade the Earth and consume the people thereon. The transhumanist agenda is simply a transitional stage perhaps which readies the Goyim to be more easily consumed, their souls or true selves, their physical vehicles being upgraded to suit the purpose of their soul vampirization. To robotize the Goyim is to extend their lifespan on the Earth so that their souls may be more completely harvested and absorbed by these entities. This is surely the main purpose of the transhumanist agenda, to trap the souls of the human, all too human, in a leaden coffin of matter and to drag them down to perdition over whatever amount of time their life force lasts. Within this context of the mechanization of the human, all too human, there would undoubtedly be ample opportunity to indulge in viviparous propagation, generating more and more bodies to serve as traps for the incarnate souls who linger around the mundane plane, harnessing them or their mechanical flesh vehicles and enabling the entities to absorb their souls multiplied many times over. The locusts of the non-visible astral planes, be they reptilians or other creatures, will thus have succeeded in their plans to engineer a soul farm matrix in which the bioenergy of the Goyim is harvested to empower these entities and their earthly emissaries and to enable the entities perhaps to possess and occupy the bodies of the fragmented and dissipated souls who have become weakened through a life of earthbound striving, lusting after the flesh and eating, drinking and being merry. The human, all too human, have only one actual choice at this time, and it comes in the form of a simple dichotomy, an irreducible either raw, fight or die. The war is spiritual just as much as it is physical and must play itself out across all dimensions and in all forms of combat, the ultimate goal being the defeat of the enemy and with it the spiritualization of the earth and empowerment of oneself and one's kind as living gods. At present we are in a state of the living dead, and the dimly glowing sparks of our souls must be rekindled in order to undergo this combat. It must begin at a spiritual level and manifest in the physical, as above so below. With the material defeat of the enemy, the earth will have been liberated from the instruments of the dark forces on the earth as their earthly emissaries through black magic means and through creating a world of chaos will have been eliminated, thus enabling the spiritualization of the earth, be it after 1,000 years of rest after the dust of global catastrophe has settled or in a more gentle way within the near future considered in terms of mundane reality. Regardless, at this moment it is combat to the finish, else death for all independent souls on this earth. To engage in the system and plug oneself into its networks of destructive energy is to degrade one's soul. One must detach himself to the greatest extent possible and work against the robotization of the Goyim, else he will lose his soul on the animal farm of Zion and create further chaos in his wake. Spiritual underachievers, the arrogance of Christians and other Abrahamists in broadcasting their spiritual virtue is a result of their crystallized consciousness, restricted as it is to a limited set of presuppositions and emotionally based dogma which is itself rooted in contrived narratives they call the Word of God. This bigoted narrowness of consciousness that is the necessary result of adherence to the Abrahamic creeds leads to one becoming a bigot by definition, i.e. not having a willingness to be receptive to information outside of one's dogma or restricted and narrow-minded belief system. Such a narrowing of the consciousness does not imply an integration of the aspects of one's being in a truly spiritual sense, but simply the restriction of one's understanding to a limited set of narratives or stories, however understood. To call into question the meaning of these stories, to critically question and to think in relation to them in a rational way and indeed in a suprarational way, is prima facie and prejudicially condemned as heresy, considered anathema. Such a bigotry derives from the mind of the Jew and radiates its halo of false light outwards into the minds of others as a religious gaslight which obscures and distorts the otherwise pure vision of they who have become subject to the influence of this spiritual program of Saturnian restriction. This unfortunate occurrence of being subject to the influence of Abrahamism has led to the materialization of the world under this influence and of all of its denizens, whose consciousness vibration has been stuck in the groove of Saturn, low vibrational frequencies being broadcast on the broken record of the Kali Yuga and the Piscean Age. Perhaps soon will be seen the greater increase of these vibrations as the needle of mass consciousness skips over the groove of the materialistic vinyl record of the Kali Yuga and falls into that of the solar Uranian current of the Aquarian Age, Balderin Aquarius, with the individual and collective of which they are a part having had their frequencies amplified by the eonic changes brought about by the Manvantara, the cycles of time. The claims of these spiritual underachievers to being above and beyond the humdrum of daily affairs, that which they stigmatize as worldly, fail of realization in their exaltation of their ego as a spiritual superior. Rather, spiritual inferior is what they qualify as, not only owing to their self-limitation to an unintelligible dogma purely faith-based and having no evidence for its reality or any amplification of its meaning save at best a distorted syncretism of ancient Aryan gnosis and spirituality combined with foreign demonology. Not only this, but additionally their perpetual castigation of others. This castigation usually operates in an indirect and underhanded backstab or slander which they circulate as a means not only of attacking their enemies but of inflating their ego through this process of harassment. The witch hunts of the Middle Ages and modern day gang stalking have always been the modus operandi of the Judaic Abrahamists in their abuse and assault against the other, with such abuse and assault usually culminating in torture and murder. The fact of their participation in such activities, which have never ceased throughout their history, implies that those who adhere to such a dogma are necessarily abusive and sadistic beyond redemption. Indeed, it further strictly implies that Abrahamic programming leads directly to torture and murder of anything other to itself. The bigotry of the Abrahamists, the demiurge worshippers, would extend itself without limit as a virus and enslave the cosmos should it be able to replicate virally through its vectors, the devotees of the creed of Abrahamism. At higher levels, both Abrahamic creeds of Christianity and Islam are controlled by the Eternal Jew, the administrator of these mind programs, which leads to the possession of the adherent not only by their dogma and the consequent crystallization of their mind, but moreover the possession of their soul by the entities in both mosque and church which they call angels. These entities are demonic creatures who exist in inner space between the third and fourth dimension and whose modus vivendi is the vampirization of the soul energy of their slaves. The latter, the zealots of Abrahamism, are spellbound through the black magic witchcraft of these religious incantations which had been formulated for this purpose, for the invocation of these entities and these entities' attachments to the zealot as means of, 1, controlling and influencing the zealot and 2, vampirizing their soul energy to perpetuate their own lives. Over time of attendance in these soul vampirization angel hives called mosques and churches and of ingraining the alleged holy works into their minds, they are subject to a proportional loss of soul energy which both these negative entities and their black magician priest caste feed upon. Hence the laity is mere energetic food for these demonic creatures to enhance their own energy through harassing and abusing them, if not an Abrahamist, and through subjecting them to the mental influence of witchcraft via scriptural passages, which are little more than black magic formulae of mind control. Those the Abrahamists, at the behest of their masters the Jews and black magician priest caste, stigmatize and bully as witches, heretics and Satanists, are in reality those truly possessed of a higher understanding of reality, a superlatively developed consciousness that ties them to higher forces at higher dimensions of vibrational frequency. It is the truly spiritual the Abrahamists hate and seek to destroy, owing to their programming and limited state understanding of reality, and perhaps especially the influence of these angels or seraphim. Those who are aware of this causality of abuse understand its mechanism of action and employ it as a means of self-empowerment, viz. To harass and abuse others through various underhanded tactics and yakt, which leads to the other, especially the pure of soul, to release their life force or bioenergy or louche that these angelic entities can feed off. The causality of sadism, it may be called, works hand in glove with the slave programming of Abrahamism that, like a drug addict, keeps the addict coming back for more pulls on their religious opium pipe and enables these entities to continue to feed in a perpetual feedback loop of stimulus and response, emanation of bioenergy or louche, a perpetual cycle of abuse which plays itself out in the cycles of time as the phenomenal world of third density becomes ever denser, reducing all to mechanical robots whose souls, having faded to dimly glowing coals in the dying fires of planetary vitality as the angels continue to feed with rapacity upon the soul of Gaia, Sophia and her denizens. The demon of electricity, the violent explosion in heaven occurred when the Demiurge imposed himself upon the eternal realms. He initiated the process of materialization and the cycles of time, which were the ripples in the ocean of being he caused, the disturbance in the force that threatens to imprison all in the lowest density of vibration, crystallizing their souls in caskets of leaden bodies. This rapist of being, the Demiurge, violated the sacred feminine of Mary Magdalene, and we are subject to his will to this day. Electricity is a phenomenon that is often associated in occultism with the divine masculine or the Father God, the positive or yang polarity in relation to the yin polarity of magnetism. Both forces, if such they may be called, are ill-defined by profane science and thus serve as largely unintelligible placeholders in their jugglery of wooden abstractions subordinated to abstract quality, i.e. number, and bereft of any sacred dimension of numerology, Pythagorean or Orphic Kabbalah. The process of westernization, which may be considered a process of degeneration equivalent to the will of the Demiurge, has submerged the sacred science of cymatics and numerology, sacred geometry and other sacred sciences in the sewage of profane utilitarianism, purely human, all too human consciousness restricted to phenomenal spatio-temporal causality and to this alone. Westernization is demiurgic, the offspring of the Demiurge and the illusory world of Maya which he has created or rather plagiarized, as he is merely a plagiarist incapable of independent or autonomous creation. The force called electricity is the Demiurge in a certain form, distributed as a pervasive substance or presence inhering in all things as a primum mobile superimposed upon that which preceded his manifestation in the eternal planes. Thus we are immersed in the substance of what in Judeo-Christianity is often referred to as God, the will of the Demiurge, his mode of manifestation within the phenomenal plane. This substance is indeed ubiquitous at a certain dimensional level, from the fifth heaven downwards, within the phenomenal planes of existence, and the influence of this substance, what could in the vulgar terms be called demonic bukake, the ejaculate of the Demiurge, his ideoplasm, pervades our perceived reality. This ubiquitous substance is the mode of existence of the great architect of the universe in Freemasonic terms, and indeed it can truly be said that God is with us in this life of mundane striving. It cannot be said necessarily to be a good thing either, for this God is an inferior deity who violated the sacred feminine of Sophia and has kept prisoner the souls of all sentient life on the earth, which, under the transformative presence of this entity, has brought all of that which is higher to a lower level of existence in low density vibration, materialized as an earthbound soul. Ubiquitous indeed. A force to be reckoned with, to be combated as an antagonistic violation of a harmonious world. Perhaps the plug should be pulled and the lights shut off, and only then will the purblind denizens of Gaia be able to truly see reality when the illusion machine is short-circuited. Like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, the Wizard of Zion, the Jew, conceals himself behind the rainbow curtain of Maya, the veil of Isis behind which he hides to serve his demiurge master who powers his illusion machine and traps the souls of all sentient life in his slave matrix of Zion. Dorothy, the sacred feminine or soul of the Aryan race, has finally come to an understanding of the matrix. She has integrated into herself all aspects of her soul, thought, emotion and action into a complete soul which is her true self. She ventures into the Emerald City, the Green Land, and confronts the Master of Puppets, the Illusion Maker with his demiurgic machine of Voz, the alleged strength of God, the Great and Powerful. Thus God is exposed as a lie, as a plagiaristic violator of the Emerald City, an installed machine who operates according to his mechanical workings which are manipulated by the Jew, his earthly servant. Dorothy pulls the veil of Isis away from the blind citizens of Oz who with her end up recognizing the truth. She has overcome the Wicked Witch of the West with Glenda the Good Witch of the East, the Sacred Feminine assisting her, and has destroyed the Hidden Hand of Evil which enslaves this earth with the pure water of truth, causing the lie to dissipate and melt into non-existence. The legions of the Demiurge have enslaved Centaur and transformed him into the Time Lord Kronos through encasing him in the icy rings which serve as a transceiver of his gravitational waves, trapping the denizens of Earth in the lowest density so they can be then vampirized by the reptilian entities who serve the Demiurge and operate on his wavelength, just as the Wicked Witch of the West operates to enslave the masses of the world of Oz through fear and through her agents, the flying monkeys and soldiers who guard her segregated castle. Thus in the allegory of Oz, the strength of God is the illusory strength of a charlatan, and his mode of enslavement is that of machines running on his vital being, electricity, or rather himself manifesting himself through machines which then serve as an extension of his will. In the movie of Stephen King, Maximum Overdrive, the machines of America where the story plays itself out, are activated by the passage of an alien presence over the earth. The machines are used in the same way as the machine of illusion in The Wizard of Oz. They become vehicles of the will of an alien presence itself, mysterious and unknown, an alien or aliens with a conscious, malevolent intent with regard to the human and animal population of Gaia. The machines are activated and violently assault the hapless humans who must defend themselves in order to survive. Stephen King's theme of machines being possessed by an entity is echoed also in his short story The Mangler, in which a laundry machine becomes possessed by an entity after a person fell into it, feeding the machine with his blood. The blood is the life. Subsequently, the machine perpetuates the cycle of abuse, seeking to feed upon the blood of the workers. This motif was written of also in Stephen King's work Christine, where a classic car named Christine becomes possessed by the soul of a dead man, and its inheritor, who purchases it in a condition of rusty degradation, becomes over time and exposure taken over by the entity, the car having an influence upon its possessor which, rather than the human owner utilizing the vehicle inverts roles and utilizes the owner to carry out its will. This body-snatching phenomenon is almost certainly a reality and is spoken of in The Body Snatchers by Susan B. Reed. In that work she illustrates her own experiences in copious detail of how reptilian aliens existing in a non-visible inner space, in the astral planes, have taken over the bodies of others and or work with others to utilize them as a vehicle of their will and to facilitate their diabolical plan for the extermination of humanity and takeover of the planet. Perhaps the alien presence alluded to in Maximum Overdrive is the coterie of reptilians who are the seraphim of the Jewish book of witchcraft called the Tanakh and Talmud. Perhaps Jehovah is their leader, or perhaps their true leader is the Demiurge, who is electricity itself, pervading the lower planes from the fifth heaven downwards and keeping all trapped within his matrix. The notion of the matrix as popularly presented in the somewhat contemporary movie of the same name has uncertain origins but is tangible in the Gnostic mythos. The archons spoken of therein may be these entities who are attempting a takeover of the earth to feed upon the souls of its denizens. The Jewish agents who construct the material form of the matrix on this earth have harnessed electricity in its construction perhaps as early as ancient Egypt, or perhaps they stole that once more harmonious power technology of Egypt, plagiarizing and perverting it to their ends, utilizing explosively generated power, the will of their demiurge god, to power their technologies of enslavement on the earth plane. The violence of their GOTU augmented by their own violence, a materialized transformation of a mysterious force of aggression which seeks control through its devouring influence as it travels throughout the cosmos. We are now living in the panopticon of the Jewish slave matrix, whose ubiquitous telepresence keeps trapped within its slaves monitored round clock in all of their movements, and soon to be, the puppet master's intent, monitored and controlled once chipped through the cybernetic artificial intelligence control grid. Or perhaps what is perceived through Western eyes, through lowest density, is not artificial at all, at least in the sense of being of human design, but is rather the artifice of the demiurge's intelligence, the allegedly all-knowing omniscience of the all-seeing eye of Judeo-Masonry, the architect of destruction to whom they have attributed the label God. The cybernetic control system operates on the basis of information and seeks to make all an object of power knowledge, reducing all to quantized information which can be controlled and managed according to algorithms in their information processing machines. Aristotle referred to slaves as animate tools, and indeed this is what the Jews look upon the goyim as: cattle, animate tools to exploit for their bioenergy. Within the panopticon of the information system of Zion, all are to be reduced through countless dysgenic means to Z.I.O.N.S. In the words of Tim Riefot, zombie installations operating negatively, inharmoniously according to the destructive will of the demiurge and his minions Jury and the black magician priests who seek the enslavement of the earth. The movie The Matrix, wherein all humans are encased in bubbles, their energy drained from them and fed upon by entities of a machine-like quality, may indeed be predictive programming to condition the masses to view the transhumanized world of cybernetics as the new normal. Initially, according to the gradualism of Jury's dialectical deception, the masses are flattered into thinking they will be a recipient of some great benefit through the wonders of technology, but the eighth wonder of the world of nanotechnology is presented as a pleasant illusion, the Internet of Things, in which all can interact and immerse themselves in the false reality of the Zion Matrix. Just as in the movie they live, they, the black magicians of Zion, live to the extent the living dead can be said to live, and we, the sheep or cattle, sleep, immersing ourselves in the pleasant dreams of an illusory world, the world of the demiurge, Maya, and are simultaneously fed upon by the vampiric entities who operate the cybernetic matrix, perhaps themselves under the control and influence of the demon of electricity. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine refers to electricity as an entity. Her just castigation of the Judeo-Christian black magicians reveals not only her insight into reality but her allegiance to truth, although she may not have had the entire truth. Rudolf Steiner, the founder of Anthroposophy, who was an adherent of Blavatsky's ideas, predicted the creation of the Internet. He may hence have been a Jewish insider steeped in Masonic dogma, presenting a revelation of the method, but his warnings as to its malevolence are poignant, that it is a spider's web in which all are to be caught through the beguilement of its shimmering strands, and which would then co-opt and take over those caught within its web. Once caught, they could then be utilized as an energetic source to vampirize for these entities. Yet more predictive programming of the demiurgic takeover by way of machines and the electricity they require to run can be seen in the Terminator movies, which present an apocalyptic future in which humans must fight against machines for survival. In the original Star Trek episode The Return of the Archons, a planet reminiscent of Earth is enslaved, and all of its residents adhere to a mindless religion which permits no questioning or thought, and wherein all must smile perpetually in order to be permitted to eke out an existence worshipping the One. Captain Kirk and Spock descends to the Earth disguised as fellow denizens of the village, wherein the story unfolds and ultimately revealed that the Earth is enslaved by a machine concealed in a hidden room using holograms to deceive the people into thinking they've heard the voice of God. This is also a theme in the movie THX 1138, the first movie of George Lucas in which all humans must be obedient slaves in the mega city, carrying out their tasks as technicians operating machinery, serving the system and machine, inverting the priority of man and machine and becoming a mere extension of it. The religion of the city is based upon productive efficiency, reminiscent of Marxism with the Catholic aesthetic. In it, the workers must go to confessional before a holographic image of a priest to confess their sins of failure to uphold production quotas. As Oswald Spengler said, Christianity is the grandmother of Bolshevism, and the movie illustrates the synthesis of these two apparently divergent creeds, one containing the illusion of spirituality, the other jettisoning it in favor of atheistic materialism, both Jewish, serving the demiurge. These movies and books are all Gnostic and have been given much representation by Jewry in their media, most of which were written or created by Jews. Why then, it may be asked, does Jewry adhere to a religion of demiurge worship while simultaneously and paradoxically presenting themselves as its opposition, and why is it they stigmatize the Catholic Church as the ultima cause of the slave matrix? In the opinion of the writer, this is simply a transference tactic of shifting blame toward a scapegoat, one they have themselves created in its origin and use as a patsy for their chaotic action, creating the chaos with their leftist praxis, the implementation of their distorted version of truth, and then having their Christian agents in the church react to their chaos, putting the brake on it, imposing tyranny on the populace in the name of quelling unrest and God. This is the demiurgic dialectic in operation, where Jewry plays the rogue element who abandoned their God, the demiurge, and the Christian contingent seek to bring them back into the fold, converting them to Christ, the rebellious children of God. Gnosticism, as Miguel Serrano wrote of in a letter to an attempted plagiarist of his work Nimrod de Rosario, the plan of the Jew and the demiurge, the demon, the enemy, is to preach escapism. For esoteric Hitlerism, for me, there is only a corruption on the surface, a bad copy clothed over with the film of Maya. Hitler and the SS believed in the possibility of reversing entropy. In any instant of the Yuga of Heroes, it is possible to rebuild Thule, to return to the golden age of first Hyperborea. Hence, for esoteric Hitlerism, the only legitimate opposition to the evil horde now existent, in their combat with the demiurge, entails a combat against his cybernetic control grid and those fleshly agents who are the wizards of Zion behind the curtain. The only recourse available at this time in the nadir of the Kali Yuga is to combat the enemy spiritually through the magic of Amor, and physically through unplugging the electrical grid and severing the silver cords of the robots of the demiurge, his material agents on Gaia. Only then can the demiurge be defeated and a new golden age arise from the ashes of Zion. Vampire farm. We are animals on an animal farm. The farmers are vampires who absorb our life force through multifarious means. Most of us are animals, some of us are human, men with hue, those who have light or enlightened minds. In the hive mind of the farmers of Zion, we are all animals who exist only to serve them, to allow them to vampirize our life's blood through coerced wage slavery, to allow the vampire farmers to vampirize our energy through their architectural grid and all their systems of control, and which system regulates and controls our labor, designed to engineer in the most efficient and effective way the harvesting of our soul energy. This latter factor of the system of Zion will be discussed in the following: how the infrastructure of material density is designed and how its functions are coordinated logistically to serve the purpose of harvesting our energy and enabling its absorption by the vampires of Zion, both their material humanoid creatures on the earth and they themselves the transdimensional reptilians who control the vampire farm as its architects and engineers at higher dimensions. The architecture of Zion is based upon the cube. Everything is right angular, square in two-dimensional form and cubic in three-dimensional form. The cube represents matter or third density, that which is tangible and can be touched, also referred to in the system of elements as earth. Indeed, we are living on a dirt farm of lowest density, a sacrificial plane upon which the cutthroat shepherd kings routinely cut the carotid arteries of their goyim in ritual murder sacrifice, either in war or revolution or simply in a more quotidian form of nervous exhaustion, drug or alcohol addiction and other forms of chaos to create dysfunctionality or entropy within the system they have installed. How this effectively works is that the square or cube, as in occultism, is a geometrical shape or solid that traps energy within, preventing its escape and impeding its flow. This holds the energy in place, enabling these entities to feed once they have initiated stress-inducing conditions that cause the goyim to give off lush or bioenergy upon which the vampires feed. Thus we are living in a matrix of magic squares in which we are trapped in a structure reminiscent of a nesting doll, cells within cells, layers of matter that trap the circulation of energy in an entropic condition within an array of three-dimensional fixity. Everywhere we go, we are walking along a right-angular road grid which constitutes the topographical layout of all towns and cities under the influence of the Jewish occupation government. Such a topography is geopathic. It generates chaos or harm by virtue of the slowing down and rendering static of energy. The grid layout of towns and cities contain right-angular buildings. These buildings are all in effect entropy machines which facilitate the breakdown of the life force energy of their occupants, trapping their souls within and enabling the transdimensional entities to steal their energy. In the traditional world, the layout of population centers was always of a circular or round nature, and they were always placed next to bodies of water to enable the energies to flow better, taking away door and enabling healthy organ to take its place. The round spires and houses of the traditional world also enables energy to flow and uplifts the denizens, increasing health and vitality rather than having their energy growth static and stagnant through a lack of dynamism. This is the difference between the entropic nature of the system of Zion with its deliberate stagnation of energy flow and that of the world of tradition, with its dynamic extropy, energies flowing harmoniously according to their natural tendencies and being properly channeled and harnessed according to ontologically valid metaphysical principles of sacred geometry and sacred science. Undoubtedly, like flies on feces, the elementressen or entities from the netherworld delight in the stagnant energetic climate of the geopathic right-angular grid. We are living in a matrix in which there is no escaping the low vibrations induced by the topographical structure of the cube and square. You are indeed on the square in the Judeo-Masonic vampire farm, indeed you are in the square as a rat in the cage. That the roads and buildings are comprised of the most geopathic materials also must be noted, oil comprising tarfa roads, giving off much pollution into the atmosphere to be respired by the population. Concrete and oil-based paint, metal, gyprock, all materials which are formed from the lowest density kingdom of elements, the mineral kingdom, that which is correlated with the earth. Heretofore the materials were of wood, especially in the ancient world before they were destroyed by the irrational fanaticism of Abrahamic religion and its implicit recognition of the greater spiritual power vested in the more living kingdom of plants in the form of wood, which could be impregnated with positive energies and were a vital extension thereof. Hence the Abrahamics had recourse to burn down the buildings, especially the temples, as a means of eliminating their competition for hegemony. They are characteristically violent nature imposing itself as an extension of the will of the demiurge, their god. The materials of stone and of synthetic materials based upon the mineral kingdom all have their properties of creating door and of diminishing the harmonious circulation or resonance of energy. Hence they serve, do these materials, as containers of the stagnant energies which can then be, like milk from a carton, absorbed into these entities. Hence we, the so-called human, all too human, are indeed living in a matrix, just as is depicted in the movie of the same name. We are a battery being drained of its life force by slow degrees round the clock and at every point in time. Trapped within the matrix cube of the demiurge, we are subjected to constant stressors, noise pollution, door from cell towers and satellites, a noxious vapor of exhaust fumes and the perpetual hum and vibration of machines. The constant stress of the quotidian daily grind of coerced slavery and imposed social, financial, legal and other obligations imposed upon us by the vampires of Zion, all with malice aforethought, and with the intention of absorbing our energy which we give off as stress responses and other emanations of our vital being, as reactions to the constant bombardment of stimuli they hurl at us as so many missiles. The accumulation of low-level vibration over a consistent time period leads to the negative feedback loops of metabolism as the organism attempts to adjust itself homeostatically as its natural survival mechanism. We are always running a deficit in all senses: bills to pay, hunger, thirst, exhaustion, burning the candle at both ends. All a deficiency needing rectification as condition of survival. Hence within the slave matrix of Zion even to merely survive, to subsist, is rendered impossible and one is like a used car or house, subject to amortization, a wearing down which is accelerated through these influences. The obligation on our part to work for the system that erodes our life force, serving one's executioners as a wage slave, is a bitter irony that escapes most in terms of its real meaning and yet is intuitively understood by most as absurd and indeed their lot in life. Most who are not the vampires and their servants at higher levels carry on day by day in numb apathy. For the deluded servants and masters, though a hammer they are nonetheless an anvil and just as they hammer upon their underlings so to they're hammered upon by their overlords. Such is the vampire world of the Matrix, a mechanical system of sadism and reciprocal use and abuse. All recognize their obligation to go along to get along though their getting is exceeded by the cost of doing business, and thus they begin their down-going, spiraling down entropically not only in this life but throughout the incarnations, as the demiurgicate clock ticks down to Ragnarok and the end of the cycle. The wage slaves of Zion have mortgaged their souls and this is a necessary condition of entering into contract with the vampire controllers of the system, a contract unilaterally imposed upon them in utero in the form of the drafting up of a birth certificate. One receives kosher certification as a farm animal on the animal farm of Zion. Money, the abstract form of bioenergy or the life force, is the currency that flows through the hands and electronic bank accounts of the vampire banking cartel, yielding interest which is the life force fed upon by the banks to gangsters. Everything has a cost and this cost is made tangible in the form of money, now reduced to digits in a cybernetic system of control that, like water, can only flow through one's hands in a perpetual circulation without stop save the complete crash of the currency. The system is doomed owing to the fact of the circulation of currency not yielding benefits but taking benefits in the form of interest which then devalues the currency even as it increases the coffers of the rapacious vampires of Zion who, understanding the mechanics of their usury system of fractional reserve banking, have spent multiple incarnations on this earth absorbing wealth as a parasitical tribe and have wandered over the earth with stolen loot and the mortgaged souls of those whose life energy they have robbed like a figure of Chichikov in Nikolai Gogol's book Dead Souls. The interest on the mortgaged souls monopolized by jury and their affiliates will inevitably have to be paid back given that their unilaterally imposed contract was not a contract at all and thus their charging of interest will backfire karmically upon themselves. That the creatures who have genetically engineered the Jews millennia ago, these reptilian transnationals, exist vampirically, implies according to cosmic law that they are living on borrowed time, taking from others without giving a proportional amount or indeed anything at all to those whose life force they rob. They are a net negative in the cosmic account book of the divine and thus are a cost unworthy of paying and will almost certainly be cut from the budget of the divine through the appropriate karmic processes. We are all agents of karma and thus must ensure that these vampires cease their activity else we incur our own karma of extermination at their hands if not in this incarnation then in the next. Thus in order to save one's soul, to prevent the continued entropic devitalization of Gaia and all sentient life thereon one must combat these vampiric entities, both the reptilians, Seraphim, Elohim, and their earthly tools the Jews and their underlings. Their defeat alone will ensure the spiritualization of the earth and the establishment of a new golden age. The vampire farm of Zion is a three-dimensional matrix of global proportions, perhaps replicated on similar worlds. Perhaps it is even four-dimensional comprising the structure of a tesseract. Both under the earth and over the earth a matrix of machines and infrastructure exists, all of which runs on electricity. Within the earth are systems of power generation, electrical wires which span the earth and which are hooked into the square-shaped boxes called buildings or dwellings, tying all citizens into power-generating stations which utilize explosively generated power that generates or harms Gaia and her population. The electrical grid is a spider's web of cybernetic control which transmits waveforms along its metallic and fiber-optic strands creating an informational network through which all may be controlled and enslaved according to its engineers. Simultaneously, the dirty electricity is emitted from electrical outlets, power lines, cell towers and satellites, bathing the Earth in his electromagnetic germplasm and, like urinating into a potted plant, upsetting the healthy pH of all sentient life, creating conditions of degeneration and sickness. The demon of electricity transmits himself like a rapist in the dead of night along his highways of communication, and rapes the virginal Earth in brutal fashion. He is the demiurge of the Abrahamists, and his violent assault against the harmony of existence is a celebratory rite of his will, a vulgar display of power, that of a rapacious beast. His minions, the reptilians, feed off the pain and stress he induces, gathering up the bioenergy of the goyim into themselves as a means of perpetuating their vampire lives. It is not only the current of electricity that participates in the control grid as its primum mobile, but different power systems and infrastructural apparati play a role in this system. The plumbing and sewer system also function as conduits of bioenergy. The flow of water enables energy to move about the control grid, and the topography of the control grid is designed in a way to move negative energy, door, deadly organ in the term of Wilhelm Reich, away from the privileged elites who operate the control grid on the mundane plane and toward their slave caste, creating an endless feedback loop designed to induce stress responses in the populace through bombarding them with DOR. Prisons and other buildings wherein extreme negative emotions exist are segregated from the privileged, who conceal themselves away from the DOR emanating from their slaves. These buildings of negative vibration are typically constructed along rivers, if not in self-contained areas, so that bioenergy can be directed away from the privileged, perhaps transmuted along its flow and then transmitted via ley lines and waterways to them to feed and empower them with energy, enhancing their life force. Churches and buildings of this sort are designed architecturally to transmit energy. Their spires are structured in such a way as to channel energy up and from the earth to the sky, possibly being absorbed by the transdimensional reptilians or even transmitted off-planet to one of their locations in the solar system or cosmos, such as the planet Saturn, or through black holes to another dimension or region of the galaxy. The hapless slaves who congregate as so many dupes of Judah and indeed of Jehovah in their angel hive-louche collectors called churches, simply have their energy vampirized by these entities in one way or another, empowering those on the earth or in other dimensions. They are trapped in a cycle of reciprocal use and abuse in which these entities and their priest caste delegates create fear and low vibrational states of consciousness and thereby vampirize their life force, keeping them coming back for more, thinking that the solution to their problems can be found at the problem source. This absurd abusiveness extends to all the functions of the system of the vampire farm. The medical system purports to heal but in fact harms the patient or sufferer seeks remedy for their sufferings, being ignorant of the causes and having been conditioned to venerate their medical priests obsequiously before then in a profane rite of allopathic self-sacrifice, allowing themselves to be poisoned with pharmaceuticals and radiation, injected with poisons and biological weapons called vaccines, and subject to anatomical mutilations and corruptions of whatever variety. They seek the solution to their problem from, if not the source in this case, then a source which simply compounds their problems and adds insult to injury through such injurious reliance upon the unquestionable medical priest. In terms of the legal system, the system imposes legal prosecution and penalties upon the gullible. The gullible seek help from the system which attacks them, incurring legal fees and compounding their stress and anxiety, which fills the coffers of the priests of Saturn with their bioenergy, not only in the form of money but in that of louche. The stress induced by the prosecution and indeed by the penalty, if such is the result, causes the emanation of louche which the vampiric entities can feed off, and which, being trapped in greater conditions of restriction, places one in a position for greater vampirization. Be it the labor force of coerced wage slavery or the various facets of the chilligan of the crystalline matrix, all are subject to entropy and the amortization.